Corbin just told me I had an hour and a half, so just buckle up your seatbelts and hang on. I wasn't ready for that song to be over. I was enjoying that, man. I hadn't heard that in a long time, and so thank y'all. If you've got your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. We've been, for the last 3 weeks, we've been starting our study in the book of James, and we're just going to preach through it just like we did through Ephesians. So we're going to finish chapter 1 today, so if you want to find James chapter 1. Before we go any further, though, I've kind of failed to announce something. If you were here almost a year ago, it wasn't long after I had started as being the pastor here, our music minister slash choir director slash does everything behind the scenes guy, John Summers, came forward at the end of one of the services, and he said, "I want to surrender my life to the ministry." And so, I want to surrender my life to the calling that God has gave me to be a music minister. And so it's taken us a while. You know, we've been busy and everything like that. But we are ordaining him as a music minister on the 24th of March. So that's an exciting day for our church. Can we praise God on that? That's the sign of a healthy church when we are raising up people. We're raising up ministers and sending them out into the world, or hopefully keeping them right here ministering where they are. So, John, we're not trying to run you off. We just hope that God will keep you here for many years. But it's a powerful thing when we surrender our life to the Lord, especially to give it up to minister to others. So I'm excited about that. So I would encourage you, especially on that day, to come and join us as we celebrate that. We're going to have a Reverend Benson from the Fork Union Military Academy is going to be a part of the service and bring part of the charge. But I want to encourage you to also, you know, bring gifts, bring cards of encouragement, whatever it is that we can encourage our brother in his walk with the Lord. Okay, so just be thinking about that and let the Lord guide you on that. Last week we saw where James was trying to tell us where our temptations come from. We talked about how to overcome our trials and how find joy and count it all joy when we have trials and temptations. But last week we really looked at where they come from. And this was kind of a sore subject. Some of us were kind of uncomfortable in our seats. I was uncomfortable speaking about it. But that's how we know it was the truth. That's how we know we're speaking the truth. When we start squirming in our seat, when we start feeling uncomfortable and we're preaching through the Word of God, that's how we know that it's the truth. Paul warned Timothy about speakers and about teachers who would start tickling people's ears, and we see that a lot in the church today. But it's important to not fall into that trap. We saw where he made it very clear this temptation does not come from God. He said, "No one should ever say that God is tempting me. It comes from our own evil desires." We learned that when we allow ourselves to let our minds dwell on lustful things and desires and fantasies and all these things, we actually are giving birth to sin. We are giving birth to sin. That's what James said, when we start thinking about these things. And we saw where once we give birth to the sin, it actually begins to grow. And once it begins to grow, it leads to one place, and that is death. Not only in this life does it ruin your life, but it separates us from God, and it can separate us for eternity. James reassured us that God is only good. How can someone that is only good tempt us to do evil? See, once our sin grows, it leads to death. God only gives good gifts. And God's will is for us, instead of giving birth to sin, we close with this, He wants us, instead of giving birth to sin, He wants us to be born again. Spiritually, to be born again, a new creation. Throw off those old stained rags, just like the song was talking about. Well, today, James has given us instructions on how to prepare ourselves for these trials and temptations. What do we have to do to withstand and to prepare ourselves to withstand these trials and temptations? If we want to conquer our temptations, we must listen to the Word of God. And that's exactly what James is going to talk about. So let's read James chapter 1. We're going to go from 19 all the way through the end of the chapter. And I don't know how yours is, but mine is titled over top of it, "Listening and Doing." Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you have heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. That's a lot of stuff packed in there. We're going to try to get through it under an hour and a half. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's start off right. Lord, we love you. God, we praise you. Father, I just thank you that I have the privilege of preaching your perfect, holy word. God, I just pray that we would all listen. God, that we would truly listen to your word today. And Lord, that through our listening of the word, Lord, that you would it would plant a seed in our heart, God, that would begin to grow. That would begin to grow and produce a harvest, God, for your kingdom. God, that's what you want for us. And so, Lord, I just pray that we will, maybe, Lord, even through today, through the message that you've laid on my heart, through your holy, perfect word, God, oh, Lord, that we would become doers of the word. Father, be with us, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Usually a sermon kind of ends with salvation, doesn't it? If you think a minute, we're probably going to end with that today. You're talking about how to be saved or maybe coming back to the cross of Jesus Christ. I read a book one time. I was reading a study on how to prepare sermons and all these things, and I didn't really work because I probably didn't listen to it. I'm all over the place. But I remember something it said. It said everything that you ever preach should go back to Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And I'm like, well, how do you line that up with Leviticus, and how do you line that up with some of the things in this book and that book and whatever? But if you think about it, everything in the Bible points to Jesus, doesn't it? And so that's what we're supposed to do. But this is what's really cool is usually this is how we end a sermon. It's a good way to wrap up a sermon, if you will. But in this passage we just read, James is putting it right there at the beginning in our face. We must understand that our biggest temptation in life, the biggest temptation that we're going to deal with in life, is the temptation of just doing whatever we want to do. Whatever our heart desires is what we're going to go do. Our biggest temptation is to want to follow our own desires. These desires could be lust, greed, unforgiveness. We talked about all that stuff last week. We're not going to beat a dead horse. We all know the things that we lust after and that we have problems with in this world. But James actually, he calls out anger. He talks about anger. And that's one of those things that we know the word tells us. That's not coming from God. God doesn't want us to walk around angry and lashing out at people. Let's read 19 through 21 again in James chapter 1. Listen what it says. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And he goes on to say, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that he has planted in our hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. You see, James is trying to get us to understand that if we're going to be quick to listen, we have to be slow to speak. If we're going to be quick to listen, we have to be slow to speak. How can we really be listening for God to speak to us? How can we really be listening to God for God to speak through us through his word when we're reading it? Or maybe when we're sitting through a sermon, or maybe when we're listening in a Bible study, or maybe we're in Sunday school, whatever it is. How can we really be listening if we're too busy wanting to hear our own voice? I struggle with that so many times. Jenny tells me all the time, she said, you always cut people off when they're talking to you. And I do it to her all the time. She'll be trying to tell me something. And I'll say, yeah, did I ever tell you about that time? And I'm trying to engage myself in a conversation. But what I'm doing is I'm thinking about what I want to say instead of what somebody is trying to tell me. And that's an easy trap to fall into. And we have to watch that, especially in a relationship with the Lord. We see this today everywhere. People don't want to hear the truth from the Bible because they don't want to listen to the truth. That sounds kind of common sense, but it's true. We live in a world where people think they are smarter than God. Maybe a professor in seminary thinks, I've got a family member of mine that was taught in seminary that all the events in the Bible, especially like Noah's Ark and all those things that you read about in the Bible, those miracles and those awesome things that happen, are just stories to help us relate to understand how God can do things. That's scary. See, we think we're smarter than God because we can't understand how God can do something. We suddenly think we have to figure out how he does it, or maybe try to explain away the fact that it couldn't be possible in human strength. Give me a break. God is telling us right here in the Bible that we need to listen. We need to listen. If we just stop and we listen to God, we would never lash out in anger. Think about it. If we ever just stopped what we were doing right before we were getting ready to go off on somebody, and we just said, okay, God, speak to me. What do you want me to do? I guarantee you he would never say, go up there and slap him across the face. You know what I mean? Or go ahead and cuss him out, Anthony. They deserve it. Human anger does not come from God. And it's not what God desires for our life. We wouldn't let ourselves get dragged away in the evilness and the filthy things that this world puts in our hearts and that we desire. So if we really want to prepare ourselves for the temptations in our life, we would listen to the seed, the word that God has planted in our hearts. Are you listening to the word this morning? I'd be willing to bet that everybody here, if you've ever been to a church service, if you grew up in church, maybe you haven't been in a while, even if you have, if you've been on Facebook and you're friends with Christians or whatever, you've probably heard the verse that I'm getting ready to, you've probably heard the verse that I'm getting ready to read to you. Has anybody ever heard of the verse or the chapter of the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16? Has anybody ever heard of that? All right. See, a lot of people, a lot of times you hear things, but do you really listen to it? So read it. Let me ask you, have you really listened to John 3:16 this morning? It has the power to save your soul. So I want you to listen this morning. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We must receive the word of God this morning. And just like James said, we must receive it with humility. Picture a child coming to a father saying, I need something from you. I need you to help me. I need you to feed me, whatever it is. That's the kind of humility we should have when we come to our Heavenly Father. Like a child to his or her father, the idea is to come quietly, listening to the word of God. Jesus said this in the parable of the farmer that scattered the seeds, Matthew 13, if you want to read this later, the whole thing, it's a powerful reminder of what we're supposed to do as believers. How dangerous it is sometimes when we don't listen. You know, what seed are we going to be? This is what he says in verse 23. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear. Who truly hear and understand God's word. And I love what he says right here. They produce a harvest. 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. See, if we're truly listening to God's word, truly listening, it's not enough just to hear it, okay? We can't help that. We're automatically going to hear. If we have ears and they work, we're going to hear when somebody says something. But we have to listen. We talk about this with our kids all the time. It's not enough to say, yes, sir, and then just go disobey. You have to listen to the command. You have to listen to the instructions from the Lord. If we're really listening, our lives will produce the proof that we are listening. That's a tough one. Think about it. If we're really listening to the word of God, our life will produce the proof. This leads right back to the next thing that James is telling us, verse 22 through 25. Listen to what he says. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, you don't and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. See, we must be listening to the word of God. And if we're truly listening to the word of God, we should do what it says. Are you listening this morning? This is why people don't want to come to church. This is why people don't read their Bibles. is because they don't want to listen to the truth. They don't want to listen to the truth because it reveals who they really are. Oh, preacher, that's too harsh this morning. That's harsh. You shouldn't have said that. That's kind of rough. You know, you shouldn't have said that. But I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes I look back and I remember when I was, 16 to 18, maybe to 20 years old even. I lived on the James River, okay? And I didn't take an inner tube. I didn't take a boat. Me and a buddy of mine would put on little fins, the scuba diving fins, and a snorkel, and we would swim down to the Rock Island above Scottsville, if anybody knows where that is. And we would go pick up and we would harvest like gold necklaces and $10 bills and all this stuff that all the drunks had lost over the weekend. And so, but in doing that, we enjoyed looking at the big fish under the rocks and all that stuff, and we lived on the river. And so we would swim downstream and swim back upstream and loved every minute of it. And I remember, like, I look at pictures of myself back then. I had, like, the six-pack abs. I was, like, cut. I had no fat on me whatsoever. I mean, I was tan. I looked like I lived in Hawaii or something. Sometimes I still think I look like that. I really do. Like, in my mind, I picture myself still looking like I'm 18 years old in tip-top shape. You know what I mean? Before I was a pastor and ate fried chicken every day, okay? And all the pies that people bring to my house that are delicious that I cannot... But anyways, sometimes we do that. We forget what we look like. That's what's important about a mirror, because you know what? A mirror doesn't lie, does it? Sometimes I'll be in my uniform and I'm getting ready and I'm making sure everything's straight on my uniform and I look in the mirror and I'm picturing myself as a 21-year-old right out the academy in shape, running 4 miles a day, and I see myself and I'm like, yikes, I'm trying to like suck it in, you know, I'm trying to look tough, you know. We went on vacation with some friends, actually with the Phillips last in the fall, and I'd already been here for a couple months pastoring, so I'm blaming this on y'all. And so I'm out there playing with the kids, and Jenny had taken some pictures. I'm looking through the pictures when we get home, and I'm looking, and it was a kind of a picture of me kind of bending over like this, and I'm doing something with the kids in the sand or something. You can only see like the side of my face. And I told Jenny, I said, who is the overweight, middle-aged guy with a farmer's tan playing with their kids? And she said, that's you. And I was like, oh my goodness, because see, you forget what you look like. And I believe, I was talking to my dad this week, he was talking about that. I believe that if James was writing to us in the 21st century, he would have said, it's like God taking a picture of you when you least expect it. That's what the Word of God reveals. It reveals who we really, really are. If we never look in a mirror, we can forget what we really look like. If we never hear the Word of God, if we never truly listen to the Word of God, all we're doing is we're fooling ourselves. I'm okay. I got it figured out. I got time. I can call on the name of Jesus later in my life. See, when I read the Bible, when your pastor hears a sermon, when I come to Wednesday night Bible study, and we're listening and we're hearing and we're digging into God's Word, I'm reminded of the truth. I'm reminded of how much I fall short. I'm reminded of how unworthy I am to serve the King of Kings. I'm reminded how much more I need to pray. I'm reminded of how much that God doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't love me any more than he loves one of the people in Afghanistan that are cutting off Christians' heads. He would leave the 99 to go after the one. We talked about that on Wednesday night. But most importantly, I'm reminded that God loves me and he wants a relationship with me. It's like looking into a mirror. Because the mirror does not lie. But at some point in their life, in some point in their walk with the Lord, we have to take what we've heard and we have to put it into practice. If we're going to grow up in the Lord, we have to take what we've heard and we have to put it into practice. On Wednesday night, we were listening to a video, watching a video of a missionary, and I don't know when the last time I've been so convicted and so crushed by the Holy Spirit as listening to this speaker. And I'm telling you, if you're able to come to Wednesday night, you need to come out with us. And it's just an awesome thing to get us through. It hits on Wednesday night when the world's attacked you and it gets you through the rest of the week. The fellowship and to be there in the Word of God. But he was talking about ministering in the darkest corners of the earth. And how that's what we're called to do. We're supposed to go to the darkest places where nobody has ever heard the name of Jesus Christ and go. Because if we truly believe what the Bible says, if we truly believe that this isn't just stories from the past, it would cause us to get into action and to go. I was so convicted. of how much I fall short of my duty as a Christian. But I want to encourage the church this morning. We see the church doing this here at Fork Union Baptist, and I'm excited about it. Last night we had the Meals for Missions, and we raised over $300 to help our missions so we can go, so we can send missionaries out into the field. So I'm praying that we get to the point one day where we're sending people, all seasons of the year, we're sending somebody somewhere. I don't care if it's down the road or if it's all the way to China. We're sending missionaries from this body of believers. That's what God wants from this church. See, at some point, our knowing should result in us going. When we get to this point, personally in our own lives and as a church, we will become doers of the word. That's when we become doers of the word. And this is when God really begins to bless us. Now listen to me. I'm not telling you right now, I'm not a big mega church preacher on TV that's telling you that when you obey God, he's going to rain $100 bills in your wallet from heaven. Okay? That's not exactly how it works. And that's not what James is telling us when he says that he will bless you. But I can promise you this, that when you're obedient to God and when you're in God's will and you're doing what God told you to do, he's going to supply every single need that you ever need. He's going to give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. An unexplainable fulfillment that fills your heart and your soul to the fact that you know that you are doing something worthy of God creating you. That's how God blesses you. And you gain a whole new understanding of who God is and how faithful he really is. 1 John 2:17 says this, "And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what is pleasing to the Lord will live forever." See, we must do what the Word of God tells us to do. This is exactly what James is talking about in verse 26. Let's look back at verse 26 in James chapter 1. "If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless." Now, we're going to get into more of the controlling your tongue. James talks more about that in chapter 3. We're probably going to have a whole message on that. So go ahead and prepare yourself for that. But James still uses it as an example here in this passage. See, we can come to church. We can serve on a committee. We can be on the membership roster for years and years and years. We can go in that water right there in that baptism. We can get baptized. But are we walking the walk or are we just talking the talk? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Remember, all we have to do is listen to the Word of God and then do what it says to do. Psalms 34:13 says this, "Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." I was thinking about this and I was reading this passage and I don't want to make anybody doubt their salvation. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to help us to understand what is salvation and what does it really look like to be a follower of Christ? What does it look like to be a doer of the word? I think the devil has church members all over the world fooled. And it's a scary thing. They think because maybe if they live a certain way and they try the best they can, or maybe they can live however they want as long as they go to church on Sunday. Maybe they can ignore the word of God as long as they do certain, religious things that they do. Maybe because they come to church, maybe they were sprinkled or baptized as a baby. Maybe because they're just being led astray. Maybe their teacher is telling them these things and it's just false doctrine. I don't know, but either way, I want to tell you this morning, God wants your heart. God wants your soul. He wants you to be a child of God this morning. You know why? Because God knows that once we stop playing around and we commit our heart and our soul to him, I'm not talking about, just committing to come to church on Sunday. I'm talking about committing your life to him. Once we stop playing around and we become doers of the word, God knows that we will produce 30, 60, even 100 times more than he planted in our heart. That's a promise from God. I used to think like, well, what can God do with me? How's God ever going to use me? And yet, I still question myself. Some of y'all might question that. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, it's amazing when I get a chance to minister to somebody, when I get a chance to stand here and preach God's word, it's almost like I'm stepping out of my body and I'm like, who is that guy? And how in the world is that happening? That's what God does. He does the impossible things. That's what pleases God. So if you really want to please God, if we really want to please Him with our life, we simply need to read His Word and do what it says. As we close, I want to listen to verse 27. I want to listen to what it says. I want you to listen this morning. Truly listen. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, I want to explain something to you this morning. He's not talking about working your way into heaven. That's not what he's talking about. He's not, you know, James is going to talk about that later too in chapter 2. But I want to tell you, James is not saying that all you have to do is check on some widows and orphans and you got, you know, check it off your list. You did what you were supposed to do. That was a big thing that you had to do in those days, okay? And we need to do it today too. It's a very important thing. But he's talking about being a servant. James is simply telling us that it's not about religion. It's about action. What are we doing with what we know? It's about relationships. You see, if we're focused on serving others, if we're spending our time ministering to others, we're preparing ourselves to fight off temptations and we don't even realize it. We've talked about it several Sundays in a row. Those idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? That's where he can work. And we're sitting alone and we're spending time and we're not studying and we're not concentrating on God's word and his faithfulness and his goodness and what he has planned for our life. The devil just starts tempting us right then and there. Oh, he just loves to get us away from the truth of God. We must be doers of the word. If you remember, James is trying to get us to grow up a little bit, to grow up spiritually in the Lord. It's time to move away from the milk and get onto some solid food this morning. If we're growing up, if we're going to grow up, we must be quick to listen and slow to speak. If we're going to grow up, we must get rid of all the evil and the filth in our lives. If we're going to grow up, we must listen to God's word. And we must do what it says. Are you hearing God's word this morning? Are you ready to do what God says this morning? I bet most of us here have heard this next Bible verse that I'm going to close with. But I want you to listen to God's word because we heard it on Wednesday night and it really has convicted me. Listen to what Jesus says before he leaves the earth. Matthew 28, 19. We know this is the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Are we willing to be doers of the word? Are we really willing? I love he was talking about the lost sheep, and he said, you know what? He said, we have to understand, you know what? Jesus said, he always leaves the 99. He's willing to leave the 99 and go after the one. And he said something, I wrote it down in my Bible in the book of Luke Wednesday night. I jotted it down because I didn't want to forget it. It just challenged me. He said, the 99 are always expendable for the kingdom. Are you expendable for the kingdom this morning? Think about that. Are you willing to go and risk your life for the one? Because that's what Jesus wants from the church. Because if we're truly saved, if we truly have the salvation, the trust that we have in Jesus Christ, death, where is your sting? What are we worried about? What is there to fear when we have eternity of reward? But we have to look. We have to fight that temptation to live in the worldly desires and let the world corrupt us. Fork Union Baptist Church, are we willing to go? That is our purpose. If we want to grow up in the Lord, if we want to be more like Christ, we have to get out of our comfort zone and we have to obey and do what God says. If we're going to resist being corrupted by the world, we must become doers of the world, of the word. John, I'm just going to ask if you'll come. We're going to close with this hymn. And I was reading it last night and I had never really heard of this hymn. And I said, man, I want to read that. I like the title. It says, Room at the Cross, hymn number 315, if you want to turn there, 315. It says, the cross, the first verse says this, the cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. What powerful lyrics. As we sing this morning, if you have never found shelter in the cross of Jesus Christ and been forgiven of your sins, I would pray, this is my purpose. This is what drives me to get up here every Sunday morning, is to preach the gospel so that others can experience what I've experienced, the joy of salvation. If that's you this morning, maybe you want to join the church, maybe you just need prayer, I don't know, maybe you want to recommit your life to the Lord today and say, you know what, I haven't been living for Him, but today, starting today, I'm going to live for the Lord. If that's you this morning, I just pray that you'll come as we sing. Hymn number 315. Stand as we sing.